This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Before we talk about the second jewel of the Triple Crown, the Preakness next Saturday, I'm going to take him back to the controversial Kentucky Derby last Saturday. Joining us from NBC's broadcast team, host Lafitte Pinkai III. How are you, Lafitte?
I'm good, but disappointed. You didn't see every minute of our five-hour broadcast.
I'm extraordinarily
disappointed.
The first things first, I saw most of it because I came on the air 55 minutes before post. So I caught the first 4 hours, both video and audio. But unfortunately, the race itself, I was on the air at the time, so I could only watch. So I didn't get to hear your take on what transpired in the 145th Kentucky Derby. First, for those like me who missed it, tell me what you thought and said at the conclusion of the race and the 22 minutes to make the decision thereafter. And has your opinion changed since that fateful late afternoon in Kentucky?
No, it hasn't. I think that it's unsatisfying. But by the same token, and these are just the broad strokes, yeah, I do think the right decision was made. But when I say right decision, that's like 60-40, all right? Had they left maximum security up, I would have left Churchill Downs and said, okay, I don't agree, but that's fine. I understand. It was a really tough call. I guess the only perspective that I really disagree with is that anyone who might suggest that was a brutal call, how that was an awful call, how could you possibly disqualify? There wasn't an awful call to be made because it was such a close, close call. And in the end, I agreed with the disqualification. I don't love everything the stewards did leading up to the disqualification and after. I think there could have been a little bit more transparency. But here's what matters. What matters is that War of Will stayed on his feet, right?
Yep.
We could have been waking up to on Sunday morning of horses falling and perhaps much, much worse at the head of the lane in the Kentucky Derby. He stayed on his feet. Everybody came back healthy and in one piece. And even though it was an unconventional way of getting there, like, yeah, I do believe the stewards made the right call. Everything since then, it's really just been a lot of noise to be completely honest, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I do kind of agree with you there. And I agree with you for the most part on everything you said, except I'm on that 60-40 other side. Okay. Yeah, anyone who says it was just got off one, it was no foul whatsoever. No, the horse came over a path and a half. Now, it's so funny as you talk about noise. People go, he came out five paths. No, he didn't. Stop it. We've seen the replay how many times? He came out a path and a half. The War of Will was on his rear end to begin with when he was still straight in his lane going into the turn. So he had something to do with himself being cut off. But the horse did come out and he did intercede and probably had something to do with the horse checking, even though it was checking three or four strides later, which I still don't quite understand. So, I would not have taken it down. I think an injustice was done. A grave injustice? Oh, my God, the biggest travesty in the history of racing? No, because there was a questionable call to be made. They made it. I would have fallen on the other side, but you and I are on the same page in that it's a debatable topic. Now, is that debatable topic good or bad for racing?
I think you walk away. It's not. It's not bad for racing because, if nothing else, it shows you that the game, it's being policed. And if there's an infraction that's been made, if somebody does something wrong on a racetrack, then there is going to be a penalty, whether it is, you know, and I know that this you know, metaphor has been used time and time again about whether it's the third race, you know, at Podunk Downs or it's the Kentucky Derby that, you know, the rules of the rules. Look, we all know that the Derby's a roughly run race. You have, in this case, 19 horses, in many cases, 20 horses. And there's more bumping and jostling and jockeying for a position that goes on in that race than any other, simply because so much is at stake. This is the one race that every breeder, owner, trainer, and specifically the jockeys, that they want to win more so than any other race in North America. So you're going to push the envelope, and that's part of the reason that this the first time a horse that crossed the wire first was disqualified.
Speaking of jockeys, did you solicit an opinion from Lafitte Pinkai Jr., as in your dad, as in Hall of Fame jockey Lafitte Pinkai?
He thought he had to come down.
He did.
And if he said otherwise, I'd be honest with you. I'd tell you. Gary Stevens, a three-time Derby jockey, thought he should come down. Kent DeSormo, a three-time Derby-winning jockey, thought there should have been a disqualification. My father thought there should have been a disqualification. I felt the smoking gun was the head-on. So, no, he didn't come out five paths, as you say, maybe a path and a half. I'll split the difference. Let's say two and a half. I don't know what caused it. There's, you know, a lot of magic bullet sort of theories floating around out there. You had a guy sitting there by the quarter pole with a camera. You had the reflection on the track. It was a wet track from the lights. Maybe it's that wall of noise they talk about. Jockeys will tell you in the Derby they turn for home. There's 150,000 people screaming at him. Horses respond to that. I don't know what caused him to drift. Nothing sinister was done by Luis Saez, but he did come over. He didn't impede the pass of War of Will. I do believe he cost him a placing. I think War of Will would have finished up. Here's another thing, just real quick. The other argument that I can't listen to is, well, War of Will, maybe it cost him a length, or he backed up and tired and finished seventh or eighth or whatever it was. You don't know. You have no idea how War of Will would have finished with a clean path. You can't tell me definitively how much that contact cost him. You just can't. You can guess, but definitively how War of Will would have finished without getting bothered, you can't say what he would have done definitively otherwise.
Right, and that's the steward's job, and it's not an easy one, but they have to try and determine how much they believe, guess, speculate, call it what you want, he would have been able to continue on if he had been able to go straight. All right, moving on from the Kentucky Derby. Well, you are. You'll be there. I'll be watching. Mm-hmm. But a whole bunch of horses that were in the Kentucky Derby, including the ones that finished first, second, third, and fourth across the wire, have decided, 2 weeks is just a little bit too quick to come back and race. That has not been the case of late. It's a decade since the first four finishers haven't gone on to the Preakness from a year. Coincidence? It just so happened that this way, that it was this unbelievably tough-ridden race that is causing these horses to just bypass the Preakness. Why are we looking at such a lesser field?
Well, I think the trend has been, if you don't win the Derby, you don't go to the Preakness. And that's something we've seen from guys like Thrives in the Belmont with horses that he's run in the Derby, or the Oaks for that matter. Remember, he won the Belmont with the filly Rags to Riches.
Yep.
Skipping the Preakness and going to the Belmont. That's been the trend. That's been the formula for horses really running well in the Belmont, is to skip the Preakness. So I think the mindset of a very frustrated, and rightfully so, I understand this isn't a tough pill to swallow for owner Gary West. Jason Service, Maximum Securities trainer, has handled this like an absolute class act. If there isn't a Triple Crown on the line, why come back in 2 weeks? As you know, there's been an emphasis on rest and more space in between races for race horses, whether it's, you know, three-year-olds in the Triple Crown trail or any race horses. There's an emphasis on rest. So if you don't have to come back in 2 weeks, you don't. So that's why if the objection isn't upheld, then you don't have a disqualification. Of course, Maximum Security is running in the Preakness, and he's a 6-5 favorite. Country House, though, is sick. He would have been there. He is sick. He's actually been ruled out for the remainder of the Triple Crown. And what a story that would have been, this rematch, and those that were Maximum Security's camp feeling that something was rightfully taken away from them. Country House out to prove that he's a worthy Kentucky Derby winner by beating the horse that crossed the wire in front in the Derby and Maximum Security. That's the story we want in the Preakness. Unfortunately, we won't see it.
Will we get that rematch in the Belmont? No, because you say Country House has already decided they're going to take time off till summer.
Yeah.
All right, well.
And I don't think that Maximum Security doesn't strike. Again, if he won the Derby, if he won the Preakness, of course, like a war emblem, you try the Belmont, even though that's clearly not a distance that type of racehorse is designed to drive at. But no, I don't see the Belmont in maximum security's future either. He doesn't, you know, at first glance, he's going to be a horse that thrives at shorter distances. So it'll be, it's not uncharted territory necessarily, but it definitely has a different feel going into the Preakness without the Derby winner trying to bridge the gap between Louisville and New York and a bid on a Triple Crown.
Maybe a rematch in the Haskell or Saratoga, but we'll get to that later in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and who's the horse to beat in the Preakness now?
We're back to our old faithful, Bob Baffert. He's won the Preakness 7 times, and he has Improbable, who is exiting the Derby. He's the only of the Baffert trio that's going on to the Preakness. Roadster's not going. We might see Game Winner in the Belmont Stakes, who, by the way, go back and watch Game Winner's race in the Derby. He got annihilated at the start, and we know that he'll handle the Belmont distance of a mile and a half because he ran about a mile and a half in the Derby as wide as he was. But Improbable coming in, he ran well. He was, I want to say fifth in the Derby. He'll be a favorite, not an overwhelming favorite. And, you know, if nothing else, from a handicapping standpoint, as a betting race, this Preakness is going to be a lot more appealing, I think, than most Preaknesses are, because you're typically dealing with a Derby winner who's odds on. I want to say Always Dreaming 2 years ago was the only favorite that wasn't an odds on favorite in the last 6-7 years. So you're going to have a much better betting race. It's still the Preakness. It's still one of the most prestigious races in North America, Triple Crown or otherwise. It's still going to be a blast. It's still going to be a fun race.
We'll be watching next Saturday. Unfortunately, again, I won't be listening. I'll listen to your first 4 hours of the never-ending broadcast, but we'll be watching the Preakness itself. Always a pleasure. Tell your mom we said happy Mother's Day. Tell your dad hi as well.
Anytime. Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.